So good morning, and I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being here. And if you came in this morning, you probably, if depending on what time you came in and where you parked in the parking lot, you may have seen one section of our parking lot that used to have a nice gigantic ditch in it over there is now smoothed out with some recycled and chewed up asphalt. 56 tons of recycled asphalt, and a young guy and I, back there in the back, Arthur and I, with a couple wheelbarrows and some shovels, leveled it all out yesterday. We do not know what that bobcat is doing out there. We've never seen it before. So let's direct our message on pride this morning, shall we? After that little statement. Pride is an element in your lives that can... Some of you are like, what did he just do? Did he say something or did he not... We didn't mess with any shovels, all right? Just so you'll know. Just so you don't walk out there going, wow, he's great. So just so you'll know that. Pride is something that creeps into our lives so undetected, creeps into our lives so invisible, really. And in a sense that sometimes we can act out things that we never even thought we were actually capable of saying or doing. So check this video out about the destruction of what pride can really do to a person that get really inflated about themselves. Let's check this out. Does that video work? Here we go.
Enough! You are all of you beneath me. I am a god, you dull creature, and I will not be bullied by that.
Puny god.
His last phrase down there at the puny god, and I know the guy without the shirt on, I know he resembles me a little bit, that wasn't me, okay? But let's continue this message on pride this morning. Pride leaving us so damaging in our relationships. I mean, pride in essence. To open the message up this morning, to get point blank range with you, you're going to think this next phrase is impossible. But it almost needs to be transitioned to where it has to be pursued no matter what. It has to be removed from our hearts and our minds. Pride does. It can't be allowed to direct our attitude toward others, especially when it's falsely guiding us and thinking that we're so much better than those around us. I believe pride is so damaging because it can be so hidden, and when it's hidden, it's creating the most damage in your life, our lives. There are so many times through the summer that we've been taking topics and sending out an SOS for help. This is one of those areas. Getting help, getting challenged to uproot the pride in our lives is not necessarily an easy task, but it is one that needs to be pursued. So we consult Proverbs, because according to our series, Key Truth, there is profit in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 11 through 14 says this. It's a string of very blatant verses that get scathing to the person who can find themselves trapped in the claws of pride and not even realize it. Here's how it opens. There are those who curse their fathers and do not bless their mothers. Those who are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth. Those whose eyes are ever so haughty, whose glances are so disdainful, those whose teeth are swords and whose jaws are set with knives to devour the poor from the earth and the needy from among mankind. Before we jump into our outline, would you bow your heads with me and ask God while I pray, ask God to show you in your life any areas that would need to be uprooted this morning through the passages that we will be embarking upon. Father in heaven, we know that before we ever come to this passage this morning, we realize that, or we've heard that pride's evil. We know that pride can be dangerous. We also know that it can creep into our lives. So we ask for conviction this morning. We ask for realignment for our views of ourselves and for those around us, to be challenged, to be redirected, and that we'd be forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. The verses that we read just before we prayed describe really the different types of pride. Each one of those verses that we read begins with a description of a different type of purpose, a person. People who, for an example, turn on their parents that are found in verse number 11 are not the same people who oppress the poor in verse number 14. But yet in another sense, all these verses are speaking about the different types of pride, which here in this proverb is viewed as a corrupting and distorting all of the other relationships that we find ourselves in. First, pride makes us hate authority, verse number 11. And so we resist parents, which actually is the first authority figure in our lives. Next, it blinds us to our flaws in verse number 12, distorting our relationship to ourselves so that we can't change what's wrong with us, our own filth. It also makes us haughty and disdainful toward others by the time we get to verse 13 of the verses that we read. Finally, then, it moves us to be ruthless and unjust to those with less social power than us by the time we get to verse number 14. Pride is an all-around evil. I mean, we think of sins like unchastity and anger and greed and drunkenness and all that, but they're merely flea bites in comparison. It was through pride that the devil became the devil. Consider this. Pride, one theologian says, pride leads to every other vice. He says it's the complete anti-God state of mind. Therefore, it's diametrically opposed to Jesus' statements in John 8 when he says, I am not here to seek glory for myself. He's also going against in Philippians chapter 2 where it says, take on the mindset of Christ, which is humility. Pride is the anti-direct, opposite direction of that. First of all, in your notes today, if pride is allowed to creep into your life undetected, and in some cases it will do, if it's able to do that, it's going to cause you to look down on others. That's in your notes today. It's going to cause you to look down on others. See, verse number 12 of Proverbs 11, it says this, whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. See, the word derides in the NIV and in the proverbial statement here means to treat as unimportant. So the one who treats their neighbor as unimportant, and the word neighbor here is people, not just your next door neighbor, but people in general. See, Proverbs has actually given us a forbiddance and a warning to treat others as unimportant. The Bible connects the impulse of us to look down on someone to pride. It connects the two together. What is the sin of pride? Check this out. What is the sin of pride in essence? See, it's one thing to take pride in one's work. I think you should. I think you should work hard, take pride in your work. But sinful pride takes no pleasure in having something. See, sinful pride takes no pleasure in having something. It takes pride in having something more of it than the next person. So proud people are not really proud of being successful or intelligent or good looking. They're actually proud of being richer, smarter, or better looking than the people around them. It's a comparison in the pleasure of being above the rest. When our attitude is despising others in our heart, that is the essence of pride. It's crept in and now it's making itself known. See, Jesus warned us against that speaking contemptuously or in a way treating anyone disrespectful in Matthew 5 on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, Jesus' claims to be divinity are high and they're lofty. There's no doubt about that. Claiming to be God is high, but he had the accuracy of that. But his actual demeanor toward people was kind and lowly. He associated with people whom the respectable society considered outcasts. He didn't look down on anyone, so how do we get to that point? Can I ask you a question? You can't really answer it right now, but could you answer it in your head? What kind of a person do you despise? What kind of a person, when you see them, do you despise? I could fill in the blank and start putting images in your mind, but maybe you have one already. Kind of the person that when you see, you look down on them. Is it about time to change that attitude? Because it comes to leading you to the second thought this morning. It creates within you a sense of false majesty in us. Check Proverbs 15:25 out on the screen. It says this regarding false majesty. It says, a scathing phrase from the Word of God, the Lord tears down the house of the proud. He tears the house of the proud down. Wow. But he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. It's interesting, isn't it? See, pride not only looks down on others, but it fails to look upward. It refuses to let God take his proper role in our lives. See, the Hebrew word for proud, geheh, is applied to God when it means that it's supreme majesty. So to use it for human being is ironic, but it's also very telling. We want to be our own savior and our own lords. We want to run our own lives. We want to earn our own self-worth. We want to decide what's right and wrong for us. Lewis Smead's a great Reformed theologian in the past. I decided to include his quote on the screen so you could read it along with me when I read it. It is so accurate. It is so piercing. Check this one out when it comes to pride. Pride, he says, in the religious sense, is refusal to let God be God. It's to grab God's status for oneself. Here's what he says, and I love this phrase. Pride is turning down God's invitation to be a creature in his garden and wishing instead to be the creator, independent, reliant on your own resources. And then he writes some more text and finishes with a phrase that says, pride is the grand illusion. It's the fantasy of all fantasies. It is the great cosmic put on. That is so piercing to us. See, pride makes us overconfident, out of touch with reality. It makes us actually make foolish decisions. According to this verse, it leads to social injustice. Back to the verse that we had read a few seconds ago. When the proud try to trample on the helpless, hear this. When the proud try to trample on the helpless, they find themselves opposing God directly. What are some of the ways in your life that you've been holding back and not letting God be God? Because not only will it lead you to look down on others, and it'll give you this false sense of majesty, but then it leads you to a third characteristic in our life, which is a lack of sympathy. A lack of sympathy. Proverbs 30, verses 12 through 13. We read them a little bit earlier when we opened it up, but here they are again. Those who are pure in their own eyes and yet are not cleansed of their filth. Those whose eyes are ever so haughty, whose glances are oh so disdainful. The eyes of the proud are haughty. It means literally to say in the Hebrew form, they lift up their pupils. They don't look people in the eye and understand and engage them as equals. Can I say that again? They don't look people in the eye and understand and engage them as equals. They look past them to goals they have for themselves, for which others are mere instruments and objects. See, they see others as a means to an end. They see other people as dispensers of acclaim to themselves and admiration to themselves and other ways to bolster their self-image. Actually, deep enough rooted pride makes sympathy nearly impossible. It gets to the point where that can happen. Pride can actually keep us from really noticing people, putting ourselves in their shoes, recognizing when they are hurting or unhappy. Please hear me. Please hear this. You will not ever, to my knowledge, be able to fix all of the hurt in everybody's life that you meet. You can't. You'll be asked to, you'll be expected to, you'll be turned on when you don't, but you can't meet everybody's pain. You can't fix everybody's hurt. But pride says, I don't care. The absence of pride says, I do care. Even if I can't do everything about it, I still care. There's a big difference inside of that. One, the biggest difference is shows out in the action. you're not going to be able to meet everyone. One of the things that I learned early in a very rough way after 15 years of ministry is that I could not help everyone. And when I got past that, I finally realized that there would be some people in my life I could, and whatever God brought to me, I could do that, but I didn't mean to dis. You would never move to the point where you didn't have sympathy on the people you couldn't reach. I may say this again, but just in case I do, it's just because it's right here and we need to talk about it. There will be times that that you have sympathy towards somebody and they will smack your hand away. They will yell and scream for help, and when you put your hand out, they smack it away. Because where they are living, they would rather stay there and yell and scream rather than make the changes. That's not what this passage is saying. This passage is saying is when you see somebody in the mire and you see somebody stuck, you just don't care. That's what this one is saying, is be very careful with that, because those who are pure in their own eyes and yet not cleansed of their filth, those whose eyes are ever so haughty and glances are so disdainful. It's the phrase glances that are disdainful. It's the looking down again carried out farther in another level with a deeper hurt than before. See, the proud see somebody hurting and they think they're too smart to let that happen to them. And the contrast of all this is that we see pictures of Jesus doing the exact opposite. Who was God walking on the earth. You remember him in Mark 7 as sighing deeply over the person who came who was deaf and mute and couldn't talk. You saw him crying in John 11 at Lazarus's tomb. You see him now today in Hebrews 4 as the word calls it sympathetic high priest going on our behalf over and over again. That's a contrast, isn't it? He's full of sympathy. Not only will pride cause you to look down on others and cause you to have this false majesty of yourself and cause you to have a lack of sympathy, but pride will also create something else in us that is very easy to see, not to the person who possesses it, but the ones that are outside of it. Number 4, you can become overly sensitive. Overly sensitive. Check out verse number 11, Proverbs 19, when it says, a person's wisdom yields, produces, creates, shows forth, brings out. Those are all words that you could put aside there. But a person's wisdom yields patience. And then it says this, it is to one's glory to overlook an offense. An example to bring this up into modern day, maybe something that's physical, would mean this. Do you ever get a sunburn or a scrape or a cut in some part of your body, and the pain when nothing's touching it is okay, but the moment it gets touched, there's a flinching? You've had one of those. It's that right there. It's the sensitive part. See, when you woke up this morning, if you were young, you didn't have any problem when you got up and you put your feet on the floor and you started walking. But as you get older, you kind of think, man, my feet going to work today or what? But when you're young, you don't get up and go, wow, my feet are working. But when you get older like me and you get up and you think, oh, that dislocated ankle 50 years ago is showing up. See, what happens is the pain happens, the sensitive part happens, and starts to call it attention to itself. This is what goes on in our ego in an emotional sense. The ego is constantly calling attention to itself. The body part that is not injured is never saying, hey, check me out, look at me, I'm working, give me a little. It's never doing that. The only one that's hurt is doing that. So when our egos get sensitive, and happens is that becomes really the one that begins to squeal, scream, don't touch. Become very sensitive to what happens. See, what happens is that sin, connected to pride, because pride is sin, it becomes so real in our lives that our identity gets distorted. See, the very basis of our self-worth becomes jacked up. We need some saving and repairing grace. If our ego was working properly, we would know that a true glory would be to let a slight irritation to go along without paying back. If you heard what I said, that's probably it's one of the more convicting things this morning, is to let a slight irritation or something that happened to us, let it go without a payback. When your ego is working properly, your ego is going to let an offense go by. when your ego is out of whack and has distorted it to the point where you're the center of the universe and you're the center of all things that go on, then whenever something happens to you, your ego is screaming like a scab. That's the difference. It creates oversensitive. So what comes out with that? Really quickly, this won't take very long. If you have time to go through the second half, do you? Thank you very much. So what we have is that the outcomes of pride. The outcome of pride has, number one, it causes wreaking destruction wherever it goes. Check out verses 5 and 18 from Proverbs 16 when it says this, "The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished." Do you see prideful people? You meet them? You don't have to reconcile this side on this side of eternity. It's coming. Reconciliation Day is coming. You can step back and take a back seat on this one, because it also says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. See, the Bible doesn't say that the pride might lead into destruction. It says it will lead to destruction. Why? It leads there because of the practical reason that pride makes it difficult for anyone to receive advice or criticism. In other words, you can't learn from your own mistakes or your own weaknesses. You can't hear the advice from someone who loves you and is on your team. You're displaying an attitude of pride, too much for them to talk to you. Let me see what this is happening. You don't understand you have it. Somebody comes and tells you, hey, you might want to look at this. And you say, no, I've got this. I'm handling these situations, when in reality, the situations are handling you. And they're doing so in front of all your peers and your family. You just can't see it. True pride is an internal character flaw that is on display for others to see, but sadly, the one who doesn't see it is the one who's carrying it deep within their hearts. Everything has to be blamed on other people. You have to maintain the image of yourself as a competent person, as someone who is better than other people. So pride then begins to distort your view of reality, and therefore you're going to wind up making some horrible decisions. Not only will pride react itself into destruction, but number two, pride will always carry around strife. Number two, it'll always carry around strife. Check verse 10, Proverbs 13, verse 3, Proverbs 14, when it says this, "Where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice." 3:14, "A fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them." It's a practical reason that pride will lead you to fall. Why? Namely, because it stirs up interpersonal strife, interpersonal inside here, and the relationships that you deal with and have conversations with. See, pride of one's mouth lashes out. That's what that verse says on the screen. It lashes out. Now, if you compare that with the second clause of the verse where it says, "Where wise speech protects the speaker," goes back to saying that the reveals that the pride of a person's mouth lashes them. Bruce Waltke, a great commentator, he writes this. It's the image, this passage of scripture is the image of this verse is a man or a woman who is beating themselves with a rod or a whip. How does arrogant speech do that? It's because of this. The indiscreet, the insulting speech, always, the indiscreet and the insulting speech that is always marks the bragger. It marks the person with thin skin. Here's what it does. It prompts others to react with anger, disdain, and revenge. This is a person who is really, really sensitive to criticism to themselves, but has absolutely no problem giving it out to others to hurt. That's that person. Now, I want you to understand something, that there will be times that, sad, but the person who's full of pride can't receive any instruction. They can't receive any coaching. They can't receive any advice. The moment that you give them some constructive coaching, like say, hey, you may want to try this, then all of a sudden, they're screaming, hashtag bullied. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you tried to help somebody and they said, you're hurting me. You're saying something that's not true. Okay. Pride means that you're going to constantly, where strife is at, you're going to constantly get into arguments. And it's only a matter of time before you pick a fight with somebody who can really, really hurt you. That's what happens with that. On the other hand, the passage of Scripture we read was saying that a person with a humble and careful and discreet speech disarms people, and it protects the person who uses those discreet words and those humble words from interpersonal strife that comes from retaliation. The ultimate example is Jesus. Think of the only times that he really ever got salty with his words were to the pious, spiritually lofted, prideful Pharisees who decided to take him at task. Then you saw his words get salty, but the rest of the people, when they were angry or upset, he dispersed out comments of calm. A word of caution. When you're dealing with strife, my script says that you will most likely have to step into a conversation and be blunt in some time in your life. The first service, we decided as a group and we voted that I would take out the word most likely and just use the word will. So I'll rephrase it for you. You will have to step in a conversation and be blunt at some time in your life. My data research is quickly telling me that if, in the unlikely event that you could ever get away from your life from doing that, probably would mean that you would really have no conversations or never lead anything. But if you ever have to, and when you do have to, can you do it with respect and humility rather than with a tone of, don't mess with me? You might be the person that nobody's supposed to mess with. Physically, emotionally, you might have the office, you might have the authority to be at somebody's job and turn their life into a living hell. You might have that ability. You really might. You may be the person that you don't get messed with. Nobody messes with you because you could create worlds of hurt on other people if they mess with you. But even if you had to, even if that is your position, would you respond into a series of strife that would say, don't mess with me? Or would you be humble and respectful when you're having the conversation, even if it has to be blunt? I think Jesus would encourage you to do that rather than carry the tone around that says, strife, let's get it on. You see, not only does the outcome of strife, pride create that strife, but it also creates, in essence, a hatred of God. Pride can do that to your life. In Proverbs chapter number 6, verse 16, there are six things that God hates, and a prideful look is one of them. James and Peter both spoke highly against it in their work. Peter, amazingly changed with the power of the Holy Spirit, writes later about being humble. James, walking with Jesus Christ for those years together, and then comes to a point where he even makes a statement of all statements in James 4 when he says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Other translations gives grace to the humble. As I conclude this morning, can I give you some practical thoughts? The practical reasons that pride is going to lead you to destruction if you allow it into your life and creep in there, it leads to destruction, but there's also what I would call cosmic reasons. See, the Lord loves the oppressed. He loves the widow. He loves the fatherless. He loves those without power. Why? Well, within one being, the Trinity, which is hard to describe theologically, but you have to believe it, take it for face value, there's the triune God. Three persons in one, loving and glorifying one another through eternity. Check John 17. It's an orientation of love. Therefore, if we take that picture, therefore, if you are scrambling for glory and recognition for yourself rather than giving it and serving others, then you're going against the grain of the universe. I probably should have used that phrase at the very beginning when I had your attention. That's an amazing thought concept that I found in a commentary. You're going against the grain of the universe of what God is like in his triune. See, the servant life of Jesus Christ is a revelation of the nature of God, the very heart of things. So if you're not in loving service, and if you are in a pride moment for yourselves, then you are on a collision course with God's future. Because the Bible says that eventually God's going to lift up the humble and put down the proud. So if God wants to identify with the oppressed by being lowly in spirit, last phrase before I conclude. If God wants to identify with the oppressed by being lowly in spirit, please get this. Why should we hate it so much when we do not get recognized and treated as we feel we deserve? I wrote that, and then I didn't think about how it would sound when I preached it. But man, that's front and center. See, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Concluding for the third time. The humble person, they know where they came from. The humble person knows that God gave them everything that they have and made them who they are. That's a humble person. The humble person doesn't see others as means of objects, but sees others as people to make an impact. Will you be able to make an impact on every single human? You can't. It's physically impossible. Also, the humble person begins to rely on the Almighty for everything. And that makes all the difference in the world. I'm ready to pray because this is just gets worse and worse, doesn't it? Hearing this message on pride. So let's pray and ask God to bless our offering this morning. But before, while we're praying, I've done a research on this, and I see it as so damaging that I have to ask you to do something. That while we're praying this morning, that you ask God, God, is there an element in my life that is rooted with some issues of pride, where I see myself different and elevated, that needs to be changed? If you'll cross that line, I'm telling you, you will be on the pathway to a growth that you haven't experienced yet. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, it is our privilege to come and hear your word. It's our privilege to be in your presence, to hear how that our lives can be changed. Father, we've listened to some passages of Scripture today that were very direct on your view of pride in our lives. Based on what we've read today, we've been able to see that it is a destructive element that can creep in on us and alter our friendships, our relationships, because of its distortion of view. Help us make that change this morning. Father, this offering that we take this morning, we know that it is here to sustain the ministry of this congregation and in the community at 8th Street and here, and as we reach the neighborhoods and the people with your gospel and with your message. I realize that this is part of our worship in which you've entrusted to us. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your kingdom and what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.